Today on Wings, the cause of the people of Gaza has caught fire around the world. Africans' memories of colonization add force to their support.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
The African Union has declared full support for Palestine, condemned Israel's actions in Gaza, and requested its 55 member states to end all direct and indirect trade, scientific, and cultural exchanges with Israel. But Kenya's government has pledged solidarity with Israel and met large pro-Palestine demonstrations in the capital, Nairobi, with tear gas and arrests. On January 24, 2024, hundreds of people took to the streets in Kenya's second-largest city, Mombasa, to walk for Palestine, among them women and children carrying placards condemning the ongoing killing. Wings correspondent Diana Wanyonyi was there.
Palestine power!
Power!
Palestine power!
Power!
People power!
Power!
Women power!
Power!
Youth power!
Power!
Palestine power!
Power!
Down with Israeli down!
Down!
Down with the killings down!
Down!
Down with the killings down!
Down!
Down with the genocide down!
Down!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
Stop
occupation!
My name is Maya Harunani, and I'm from Kenya and Palestine, Mombasa.
Reporter Diana Wanyonyi took Sumaya Harunani to a quieter spot to record what she had to say on behalf of the Mombasa chapter of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement.
Today we stand witness to an ongoing tragedy that continues to unfold before our eyes. The genocide and oppression taking place in the occupied land of Palestine. As we gather here, countless lives are being lost, families torn apart, and communities destroyed, all at the hands of those who seek to oppress and conquer. The images of suffering and despair emanating from the occupied Palestine serve as a stark reminder of the enduring human capacity for cruelty and injustice. Innocent civilians, including women and children, are subjected to unspeakable atrocities on a daily basis. Their homes are destroyed, their rights violated, and their very existence threatened by the Zionist regime. I cannot unsee a hanging half-torn body of a child. I cannot unsee a son putting the remains of his father in a plastic bag. I cannot unsee a mother looking for her daughter's hair in a pile of hair. I cannot unsee a brother carrying the dismembered leg of his baby brother. I cannot unsee a pregnant woman in Gaza being crushed to death. 75 years of illegal occupation, 75 years of oppression, 75 years of endless war crimes, 75 years of no justice, and yet we are asked, do you condemn whatever happened on October 7th? But amidst this darkness, there is also hope, a beacon of light shining brightly in the face of adversity. It is the hope embodied by those who refuse to be silenced, who continue to resist, and who stand defiant in the face of tyranny. It is the hope that springs forth from the indomitable spirit of the people determined to reclaim their dignity, freedom, and future. As we bear witness to this ongoing genocide and oppression, we must ask ourselves, what will go down in the annals of history regarding our response to this heinous act? Will we stand idly by as innocent lives are lost and human rights trampled upon? Or will we rise to the challenge and stand in solidarity with the oppressed, lending our voices to their cause and demanding justice for the watermelonians? We cannot afford to be silent bystanders in the face of such injustice. We must speak out against the atrocities being committed and hold those responsible to account. We must stand united in our resolve to end the cycle of violence and oppression plaguing the occupied land of Palestine. We must work tirelessly to ensure that the voices of oppressed Palestinians are heard and their rights upheld, and we must boycott every Israeli company and product, as well as companies and products linked to this terrorist occupying Zionist regime. boycott those celebrities who support the Zionist regime. This age of boycott encompasses both our groceries and our screens. You might wonder what difference your 100 shillings will make, but why would you want your 100 shillings to be part of the cash pile eventually used to slaughter our children, our sisters, and our brothers? In the words of Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Let us not be counted among those who did nothing in the face of evil. Let us instead be counted among those who stood up, spoke out, and fought for justice until it was achieved. It's free Palestine until it's backwards.
Okay, you're an activist in a way.
Yeah.
As an activist, what are you afraid of? Whatever is going on in Palestine, as an activist, as a woman activist.
Seeing the women, like I said in my speech, the pregnant women, the innocent women, who have lost their families, their children, their homes. Where are human rights when we need them? Where are the women activists when we need them? The feminists. It's all very scary.
That was Sumaya Harunani, representing the Mombasa chapter of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement at the Walk for Palestine event held in Mombasa on February 24, 2024. She spoke with Wings reporter Diana Wanyonyi. Here's more crowd sound from the event.
My name is Naomi Barasa. I'm the national chair for Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement. I'm based in Nairobi.
On Wings, you're listening to Diana Wanyonyi's report from a pro-Palestine demonstration in Mombasa, Kenya, held February 24, 2024. The event in Mombasa proceeded peacefully, unlike bigger demonstrations in the capital, Nairobi, which the police disrupted with force. Naomi Barasa, the national chair of the Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement, traveled from her home base in Nairobi to attend the Mombasa demonstration. Here she speaks to Wings reporter Diana Wanyonyi.
Kenya-Palestine Solidarity Movement is a national movement of pro-Palestine activists. The main purpose of our existence is to give solidarity to our brothers and sisters in Palestine, but to also advance activism towards the liberation of Palestine. We have been in existence for over 10 years. So being a movement, the fact that we even have chapters across the country for us is a big achievement, because for many years the question of Palestine was not a common issue. People were not discussing it, despite the fact that the occupation and colonization has continued for 75 years. So the other achievement I would say is that now we are starting to get people to speak, and people talking about the issue
openly
and breaking the propaganda that has existed, and debunking the lies that have surrounded Israel and the occupation. So for us, that is a big achievement. And the fact that we are also able to influence the government of Kenya in how it participates in the geopolitics affecting Palestine and Israel, for us is a very big achievement. Like you remember, on the 10th of October, William Ruto went public on Twitter to say that Kenya is in solidarity with Israel. And we We pushed back. We said as a nation we can't be in solidarity with Israel because we know Israel is a settler occupier and they are colonialists. And as a people who have a history of colonization and occupation, we cannot. And we pushed them, and shortly after, you realize that our ambassador at the UN, while giving the speech at a UN resolution that was calling for ceasefire, really used our language to talk about why Kenya supports the ceasefire. That's one. The other thing, all through, even where Ruto has gone, even though we don't know if he means it, but at least he has nuanced the discourse how we as Kenyans see it. He has nuanced it using our aspirations, because we feel that the foreign policy must be informed by our history.
For listeners unfamiliar with Kenya, William Ruto is the country's president. Naomi Barasa goes on to talk about Kenyan Christians' support for Israel. In many parts of the world, including the U.S., so-called Christian Zionists support and often fund Jewish settlement in Israel and occupied Palestine.
We have started even influencing Christians to look at the Israeli-Palestinian issue from a factual point of view, because Christians are so misguided by Zionism, because there's this lie that has existed for 75 years that Israel is the Holy Land. So we unpack slowly by slowly, and some Christians have already started saying that they have lived a lie for a long time.
Can you speak about today's demos in Mombasa?
Kenya Palestine Solidarity Movement has been organizing protests in Nairobi, Kisumu, and Mombasa. Mombasa has had about four or so. Basically, our main reason for mobilizing people in this protest is, number one, to name and shame Israel and all its supporters, including America, Germany, Canada, France, and others. To name and shame them because the world now knows that what is going on in Palestine is human rights violation, is genocide, and this was pronounced by the highest court in the world.
To be clear, the International Court of Justice did not rule in 2024 that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. That process takes years. They did require Israel not to commit acts that contravene the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, and to punish anyone who commits such acts or encourages others to do so. They also required Israel to improve the humanitarian situation in Gaza. As of March 2024, that's not happening.
And the fact that they are not abiding by the ruling of the court, it's good enough for us to name and shame them, because they are the ones who've been advancing the human rights narrative. They are the ones who've been pushing for the never again principle after the Holocaust. But what they are committing in Palestine is exactly the same. So number one is to name and shame. But number two is to be part of the global pressure exerted to Israel and America to make sure that they pull out of Palestine, but also they end the genocide with immediate effect. And of course, to tell Joe Biden, shame on him. They cannot be the ones who are leading the UN human rights narrative, yet they're the ones who are financing the war in Gaza. They cannot be the ones who tell us about children's rights, yet they are financing the war to kill children. Over 50% of the almost 40,000 people have been killed in Gaza are women, children, and the elderly. Shame on them. They cannot be speaking from both sides of their mouth, telling us this and doing the other thing.
At our reporter's request, Naomi Barasa reads aloud the statistics issued by Euromed Human Rights Monitor covering 140 days of Israel's attack on Gaza, from October 7, 2023 to February 23, 2024, the day before this recording.
These statistics are very, 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 very disturbing. 38,066 people have been killed in Gaza, 14,350 are children, 8,620 are women, and out of the 38,066 people, 34,570 are civilians. So these are people who are not armed. These are people who are not in the war. So this is a targeted war against civilians. And then we have 71,220 that have been injured. A lot of them with severe injuries. There are a lot of people who have been amputated. There are a lot who have been disfigured. Out of the people who've been killed, 130 are journalists. The international law of war prohibits any protagonist against targeting journalists. But this is clear because we know they want to control the narrative. And so they've killed 130 journalists in 140 days.
In another case involving Israel, the International Court of Justice gave an advisory opinion to the United Nations in 2004 related to Israel's walling off parts of Palestinian territory in the West Bank for settlers, denying Palestinians access to necessities, including water. The court advised that Israel could not claim self-defense in that situation, as they had violated the Fourth Geneva Convention, which states that civilians in areas of armed conflict and occupied territories are to be protected from murder, torture, or brutality, and from discrimination on the basis of race, nationality, religion, or political opinion. Naomi Barasa reads more statistics.
They kill journalists and they destroy media stations, 173 press headquarters, because they don't want the world to be told the truth. They have destroyed 406 schools. They have destroyed industrial facilities, 1,920. They have damaged completely 613 mosques and damaged three churches. One of the three churches is among the oldest churches in the world. It's over 2,000 years. It's a heritage on its own. They've killed 326 medics. They've injured 430 medics. They have destroyed completely healthcare facilities, hospitals, clinics, and ambulances, 256. It is war crime to attack a hospital. It's war crime to attack an ambulance. They have bombed ambulances. They have killed the rapid responders. They have destroyed 199 heritage sites, destroyed the culture of the Palestinians, destroyed the history of the Palestinians, the artistic expression of the Palestinians, 199, some which are even protected sites. They have killed and injured civil defense workers. 184 have been killed and 143 have been injured. And they have enforced, disappeared 3,120 people. 3,120 enforced disappearances is grave human rights violation, because international law condemns enforced disappearance as a human rights violation. So if you look at every statistic here, clearly if you look at it, it does not point to anything else. It only points to grave human rights violations. It points to genocide. But most importantly, it points to huge desire for Israel to ethnically cleanse Palestine. They want to wipe out Palestine completely. They do not want to ever see Palestine under the sun. Because why would you focus so much in killing children? Why would you focus so much in killing pregnant women? Why would you bomb hospitals? Why would you switch off electricity in an ICU that harbors children that are premature? It's because they want to cleanse ethnically completely so that Palestine disappears in the world completely. But We thank God because the Palestinians have not been cowed down, because the world is seeing the truth, and because the one thing they have failed to destroy, they've been able to destroy everything, but the one thing they have failed to destroy, which they will not destroy, come rain, come sunshine, is the resolve for Palestine to be free. They believe Palestine will be free at whatever cost. So it's home or death, according to the Palestinians. It's home or death. Yeah.
Do you think activists in Africa and other part of the world are also doing a push for Israel to stop?
Oh, yes. There's so much pushback in Africa. States are shy of publicly coming out for Palestine, but we know a few countries that have really come out, like Tunisia, like South Africa, that have come out publicly to support Palestine. But the people of Africa, there's no doubt, we are in a Pan-African movement for Palestine, and a lot has been organized. Even this BDS movement to boycott, divest, and sanction trade and businesses for Israel is Africa-led. Of course, Palestinians are giving us a lot of support in it, but it's really Africa-led from South Africa. You have seen what the people and the state of South Africa has done for Palestine. And I can tell you there's a lot of organizing happening across Africa. It's just that the media machinery is by and large either censored by the state or owned by the state. Like if you come to Nairobi, you'd think nothing is happening in Nairobi, but there's a lot of organizing happening. People have been censored a lot. So there's a lot of organizing happening, just like there's so much organizing happening in the world. Yeah, people are organizing all over.
Yeah, I've heard you saying that in Nairobi, during demos, you're arrested, and like Mombasa. Why? Why do you think Nairobi police arrests activists during demonstrations?
I think the Mombasa community, including the leaders, have understood the Palestinian-Israeli issue very well, and therefore they know that, number one, it's not a religious issue, but number two, it's a colonizer and the colonized. And therefore, they have rendered support to the discourse, especially because Mombasa is predominantly Muslim. Nairobi is predominantly Christians, and Christians are the most problematic people. I mean, Christian Zionism is so entrenched among the Christians, and so they have bought into this propaganda that this is a holy war between a holy nation and people who are standing against the holy nation. So that by itself affects a lot of organizing in Nairobi. But we are coming up because there are a lot, especially young people, who have defied that kind of teaching, and they are saying, we know the truth. While we were growing, this is what we were taught in the church, but now we know the truth. So there's a lot of organizing. That's number one. So Nairobi being predominantly Christian is problematic by itself. But secondly, a lot of Israeli investment is in Nairobi, and the government of Kenya is pro-Israel. So it is in their interest that we do not seem to be condemning Israel because of the interest they have. Number one, you know that a lot of the tear gas that we use, the same tear gas we are attacked with, is manufactured by Israel. It comes from Israel. You know very well that a lot of military weaponry in this country and in Africa largely comes from Israel. But also, Israel has one of the most advanced surveillance technology. So they're the ones who support the government to survey human rights activists that the government would like silenced. So there's a lot of interest, that's number one, in terms of technology, in terms of funding, and in terms of arms and machinery. Also remember, Israel supports a lot of African countries with this agriculture and irrigation technology. So they feel like we are going to be affecting their business interest by telling the truth about Israel. So they'd like the world and the public to remain ignorant. And for them, they have no problem if Palestine continues being oppressed as long as their business interests remain intact. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Your parting shot.
My parting shot is that we are so hopeful. We are so optimistic because we are winning this war. And we believe strongly that Palestine will be free in our lifetime, and we will visit Palestine to celebrate the liberation.
Oh, sorry, I just have a last question, sorry. Do you have any information, or maybe has UN, UNICEF stepped in this matter of children being killed, women?
You know very well that the UN Secretary General has been saying that this is genocide, and he's been calling for the UN Council to act. But again, you know, America and its influence, Germany. I mean, the people, even the UN Security Council has been pushing for the resolution near ceasefire. Mm-hmm. It's been pushing for Israel going back to the 1967 border. But all this is being ignored. At one point, it is just America that is voting against. At one point, another point, it is America and the UK voting against. So we know the UN has taken a position, and a very clear position, only that they are toothless. They are toothless. They can't stand up to Israel. They can't stand up to America. But let me tell you, Israel is a stooge. Israel is a stooge of America. The reason why Israel is strong, it's because America is behind it. And they cannot stand against America.
Power! People power!
Power!
Women power!
Power!
Youth power!
Power!
Palestine power!
Power!
Long live Palestine, long live!
Long live!
Reporting for Wings, I am Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa.
Down the killings down!
Down!
Down the killings down!
Down!
Down the genocide down!
Down!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine!
Stop occupation!
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 Diana Wanyonyi interviewed two pro-Palestine organizers at a Walk for Palestine event in Mombasa, Kenya, on February 24, 2024. Wings is a weekly radio program distributed to community radio around the world. It's been in distribution since 1986. Thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose international event series videos can be viewed at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's all one word, maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.